Our topic tonight is let's not be childish and what happens when we are. And if we get to it, I also want to discuss a little bit of modesty and immodesty in marriage. But let's begin with let's not be childish. Let's summarize what happens in most homes. And you'll be confident that in your home it won't happen, but pay attention as it does. Okay, this is what happens in most homes. Honey, I asked you to buy milk this morning. Did you? You didn't ask me to buy milk this morning. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. Honey, you don't remember? As you were leaving the house, I asked you to buy milk. No, I remember I was leaving the house and you did not ask me to buy milk. Ah, so bottom line, we don't have milk. Bottom line, you didn't ask me for milk. Bottom line, I asked and you didn't get it. No, bottom line, you didn't ask, so I didn't get it. You know, why are you being so stubborn? I'm being so stubborn, you're being so stubborn. Why don't you ever give in? Well, why don't you ever give in? Why should I give in if I'm right? Why should I give in if I'm right? Sounds childish, right? Take a peek into most homes, and most arguments really end up like little children. Can you help clear off the table? You mean, can I clear off the table and you won't? Well, I set the table, okay, and I bought the food. Well, I cooked the food. Yeah, you cooked the food while I was working, making the money so you could buy the food. Ah, so now we're going to start saying that. I didn't start, you started. Oh, I started. No, you started. Childish, huh? Go look at many homes. This is what goes on. Honey, I thought we said we won't talk this way in front of the kids. I didn't. Oh, you didn't. No, I didn't. I thought we said we'd keep our fights in the bedroom. I wasn't fighting. I just said the truth. It sounds childish. So, who's the adult in the marriage? If we pay attention, we will find ourselves being very childish. And then sometimes you say, so I'm always going to give in? So you're not? You're never going to give in? How are you building a relationship? Well, she's the one that's stubborn. Right? Is she the one that's stubborn? She remembers one way, you remember the other way. So you're going to be mature and you're going to say that. Okay, so I remember leaving the house and you not asking me for milk. And you remember me leaving the house and, yes, asking me for milk. And bottom line, we don't have milk because I don't remember you asking. Oh, so you admit it's you who don't remember. No, I didn't. That's not what I said. No, that is what you said. Do you want to be argumentative? No, I wasn't being argumentative. I just wanted to be clear that I asked you again and you again forgot to buy the milk. Oh, this has happened before? I don't remember this happening before. Right, you don't remember. You see, you don't remember. So how do we overcome this? So the first thing is you should recognize it's going to happen. Because right now you're sitting here thinking, I'm not one of those guys, and I'm not going to marry one of those girls, and I'm not so childish, and there's no reason this should happen. And you probably did not even notice that by your parents, this was the level of arguments. You thought it was much more serious, or you thought one was definitely right. But you didn't realize that they were arguing because both of them were being immature. Because people will become childish, and you can be very mature when you're out with the rest of the world. But when you come home and it's your wife that says, you didn't get the milk again, right? And you're thinking, wait a second. Now you're on the defensive. Why are you attacking me? And she goes, every morning I ask you. Every morning I have to drink my milk without my coffee without milk. You know I don't like my coffee that way. I'm not going to drink this morning. And it's all thanks to you. And you're standing there thinking, oh boy, this is serious. And she didn't even ask. So then it's very hard to bite your tongue. And you're not even sure you want to. And when it happens, you think to yourself and you say, why would I want to? Why should I give in? I'm not wrong. And she's standing there berating me for being wrong. I did nothing wrong. Why should I be quiet? How old are you? But wait a second. It's called immature to just stand up for what's right. I just asked, how old are you? Why is it so important? See, there's a saying in the general world, not in the Jewish world, there's a saying that the two most important words in a marriage are, I'm sorry. That could be two or three, deciding how you want to spell it. I am sorry. I'm sorry. Now what happens? You learn how to say it completely insincerely. Because you're not sorry, because you did nothing wrong. So where does the solution lie? Your wife is standing there pretty upset at you, and you see no reason for it. What do you do? Food for thought. Okay, you guys have solutions?
Don't get married.
That's not a solution. What?
That's also done.
Get to work anyway.
Say you cannot hear because your ear is plugged.
This is famous Rolf Auerbach. There are many stories about him. And one story what I heard about it in Bachloket and all this, they had an agreement to look to the Shulchan Aruch. How that works is another story. But it,
like, so I want to take the story and paint it differently. And this is a very powerful tool in marriage. Okay? But before we go there, let's leave marriage for a minute, okay? We have to understand a perspective of what's going on.
If you have the same with your boss, how you react, huh? Or you do that?
Friday night, our 2-year-old comes up to me and he's got a full diaper. So I say, Tuvia, let's go change your diaper. So he looks at me with a twinkle in his eye and skadoodles across the room to the other side. He's waiting to see, am I going to catch him or not? So I get up and he's running to the other side of the room and the chase is on. Okay, I finally catch him and he's very happy. This has been a worthwhile endeavor. And I'm going to change his diaper. So I lay him down and I go to get the diaper. And the next thing I know, he's hiding. Where is he? Go find him. Finally, I found him. I lay him down. I have the diaper. I'm looking for the fresh wipes. So I'm no dummy. I'm not going to do the same mistake twice. I hold him and I say, can someone get me the fresh wipes? Right? I'm standing there. I open him up and I discover that his diaper has splattered all over his clothing. It's not localized in the diaper. So he decides this is a perfect opportunity to start wiggling around and trying to kick me and seeing how much things he can get dirty. This is not fun. He's on my bed. Okay, we end this wonderful endeavor of him trying to run away from me as his diaper's open and he's filthy and every opportunity he gets he kicks me in the face and waits to see my reaction. Every so often he grabs me by the beard and reminds me he knows how to say Zakan. And finally after a 10-minute wrestling match I go to clean myself off and I've changed his diaper. Pause. Next story. A friend of mine gives me a ride this morning and he tells me, have you heard the news? I say, what news? He says, they've discovered there's an old age home that has been torturing the inhabitants of the old age home. We just read, how do you understand that? So I tell my friend, I have no problem understanding it. They're dead wrong. They have to be persecuted. Maybe they should be in jail. But it's not easy. He said, what do you mean? I said, imagine changing a diaper for someone who's 75 years old or 80 years old. But they have the intelligence of a 2-year-old. And now they're going to do the same thing my son did to me, but they're 80 years old. They're going to fuss, they're going to cry, they're going to pull your beard, they're going to say, "I, why are you doing this to me?" They're going to say nasty things to you. Can you do that with a smile? Can you end up kissing them like I kissed my 2-year-old last night? How many of us would be able to do it with an adult? There are adults in old age homes that have dementia, that have all kinds of very difficult situations. Can you deal with the person? Can you deal with them lovingly? Why not? What's the difference? Sometimes it's a person's parent. Sometimes it's their grandparent. Let's imagine you don't know the person. There's a human being suffering there. Before I came here, I went to Daven Mincha. As I'm sitting davening Mincha, the guy next to me starts flailing his hands like he's going to punch me out. So I turn around to see what's going on. And I see his whole body shaking. This guy has some kind of disease. Every few seconds, his whole body is, it's as though he's having seizures. At first, I waited to see that he wasn't really having a seizure. I never saw such a thing. His whole body is flailing around, and then he's back to davening. And then again, so I looked for 2 seconds to make sure he wasn't having a seizure. He looked at me, we made eye contact, I made sure he felt everything was under control. I don't know the guy, and I moved on. I continued davening, trying to concentrate and make sure I don't get my face socked. I felt terrible. I said, I'm standing there davening, and I'm thinking, you know, he did nothing. It's not his fault. He's an adult. He has to live life this way. I wonder how tired he is at the end of the day, because it's a lot of energy to move all your body with such might. Those tremors take a lot out of you. I don't know how many hours he could function without crashing. But what did he do? He did nothing wrong. What did the old person in the old age home do? Yet can we change an old person's diaper and love them? Can we give them a kiss at the end? Can we tell them at the end some nice sweet words? Why not? The answer breaks down into 2 things. Number 1, Hashem gave us a tremendous favor. Babies are cute. Babies are cute. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, when the child is 1 and 2 and 3, he's cute. And so we have patience for them. And Hashem created us that we can have a love for babies, for children. When it's our own child, we can deal. And if it's our own child that's a 15-year-old or an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 60-year-old, we can deal. Hashem created us that we intrinsically have that love. We can deal. But somehow when it's someone else, we have a hard time having that love. And the second issue is we have expectations. That's one of the reasons that some people say, don't give your child a haircut so fast. Because once you see them with their haircut, you start expecting them to behave like an adult. So long as they walk around with a cute cuckoo, you know he's a baby. You know, they have these big hair, so you're not expecting from them. You cut their hair, you're expecting from them, you get disappointed, you get annoyed. Now let's go back to the bag of milk, okay? I asked you to buy a bag of milk this morning. What would happen if it were your 2-year-old talking that way? You walked in from davening and your 2-year-old goes, Abba, you remember before you left I asked you to buy milk for cereal? Would you get annoyed? Would you bother arguing? And what would happen? You would say, I don't remember you asking. And he goes, yeah, I did. You would actually stop and think and say, maybe you're right, I don't remember. And you'd have no problem saying it. Right? There's no ego conflict here. There's no expectations. So if we can train ourselves, if we can stop when these babyish arguments come up and tell ourselves, the reason I'm having this argument is I don't love her enough, I don't have enough patience, and I'm working out of expectations. It's me that has to change. Whether she's right or wrong is not the point. When I walk through the door and she says, did you get me that milk? So if I would listen to her the way I listen to the child I love, then I would say, I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't think I did. No, I didn't. But I don't remember you asking. But it wouldn't be you didn't ask. Even if I think she didn't ask. And if she said, I did ask, then we would answer the way we answered a child if we could have that love. So we have to realize part of it is not putting our ego into the discussion. There's nothing wrong if I forgot to buy the milk. Part of it is developing the love, telling ourselves, this is the person I cherish in my life, and if they want the milk, then maybe they did ask, and maybe not. If I could work with patience and love, without expectations, without ego. And that's the final point, the expectations. Can I work with accepting the person without coming with demands? Our major issue when we have fights is we feel like, I could expect that from you. It's legitimate. You're an adult, and you're wrong. So I think I'm right. But how would I react if it were someone like my child? I'd have much more patience and love, and it wouldn't matter so much if I was right or they were right. The love would take center stage. That goes back to the class we had a few weeks ago, that in every argument there's that question. Which is first, my principles or my love? Remember, we discussed this. Okay, to be continued.